Merry Christmas and aloha. Today we have Pastor Trenton Johnson, who'll be doing the Christmas Eve service. And thank you so much for joining us as we celebrate the coming of our Savior.
It's good to see you all here today. It's Christmas. In case you didn't know, by now, it's Christmas Eve, technically. But good to have everybody here. And thank you so much for everybody joining us online. We're just delighted that you're here to worship with us from wherever you are. I know we've got folks joining us from Waikoloa, from Eugene, from Colorado, from various places on the mainland and around the state, and from right here in Kailua Kona. It's good to have everybody here. I wanted to reiterate what Stacy mentioned a minute ago about the Big Island Giving Tree Project tomorrow morning. This is sort of an annual tradition for our church, Ohana. We don't provide the food. There are restaurants that cater the food. Big Island Giving Tree is the one that sets it all up, and all we got to do is show up and hand out food and blankets and things to people that need that around the holidays. So our family is going to be there tomorrow morning. Please, if you're interested, this is a fantastic opportunity to teach your kids about what Christmas means. So get your name on the sign-up list out in the Ohana room. We'll let you know where we're meeting and what time to be there tomorrow morning. Very quickly, before we jump into the message today, January 1st through 7th, we're going to be fasting as a church family. We're going to be tithing our year to God, if you would, giving him our best first. And so from January 1st to 7th, I want to encourage you to join us in fasting and prayer. You don't have to skip food completely if you don't feel that that would be appropriate. If you have a medical situation going on, please don't skip your food completely. But find something to give up, something that your flesh wants, something that would gratify you that you can give up in order to strengthen your spirit. That's what fasting is all about. Well, Christmas is a time of celebrating and making memories together. In fact, even the word Christmas can evoke all kinds of memories of days gone by and family gatherings and sometimes joyful times, sometimes times of grief. All of us probably have a little bit of a mixture of emotions around the holidays. Sometimes it's a time of welcoming those who are coming to greet us. Sometimes it's remembering those who will not be there to greet us anymore. That's okay. That's part of what the holidays are all about. I love hearing about family traditions around the holidays. I love hearing about the way that people celebrate and the trees and the ornaments and the lights and the ham and maybe the football on TV if you're into that, or the sledding and snowball fights. My kids were down at Kona Commons last night. They've got a fake snow machine and Kano was running around trying to make snowballs out of bubbles. It didn't work too well. Some of y'all go surfing. That's your Christmas tradition. Somebody educated me one day that we have white Christmases in Hawaii. They're just out on the water. That's how we do. In our family, we've got different traditions that we celebrate and do every year. In our house, we make a different ornament every year to commemorate something that God's done in our family. And so every year, our tree gets one more ornament. And if you look at our tree, it tells the story of what God has done in our family. Tells this story of his goodness in our lives. And this year we don't have our new ornament up yet, but that's one of the things that we're going to be doing before the season is done, is adding that ornament to the tree. In our house growing up, there was traditions that we would follow. We would all get together to decorate the tree, and Dad had to be the one to put on the lights because, of course, Dad's tall enough. That's Dad's job, right? And none of us were able to open presents on Christmas morning until the Christmas story had been read. That was our Christmas morning routine. Of course, we would beg Mom and Dad to let us open at least one present on Christmas Eve. And we said, look, Mom and Dad, there are countries in the world where kids get to do this. Surely we should celebrate Christmas in an international fashion. They would not relent. It had to be Christmas morning after the story was read. Phone calls to people that weren't with us. People that we wanted to spend time with. I heard a story recently about two brothers here in Hawaii that were watching the Hallmark Channel. Their mom had the channel playing, and they're looking at all these different Christmas traditions from the mainland and getting some ideas, and they saw this story on the Hallmark Channel about this family that would go ice fishing every Christmas. Anybody been ice fishing before? Got a few hands up. Okay, well, they decided, hey, we got to try this thing. Hey, we've never done that before for Christmas. We're going to go ice fishing. So they load up all their stuff. They get their fishing poles. They get their warmest coats. They get their big drill so they can drill through the ice. They've got it all set, and they head out early Christmas morning to go ice fishing. They forgot something in the car, so as one of the brothers was setting up, the other one went back to the car to go get it, and as he's going back, the first brother's out there on the ice getting set, and he pulls out his drill and starts drilling down with his big auger through the ice. And no sooner has the drill bit touched the ice than there's this blinding light from the sky, and this voice booming out says, "No fishing here." Gets all scared. He gets the drill and starts packing everything up and moves on down the ice a little ways. His brother is coming back from the car, and he sees his brother moved on the ice. He goes, what's going on? You couldn't drill through? He said, "No, it's the weirdest thing, man. It's this light and a voice that told me no fishing." So he gets his drill ready. They pick a new spot. He puts the auger on the ice. And no sooner has the auger touched the ice than again there's this bright light from the sky. And this voice booms out, "No fishing here." Brothers stop. They look at each other. One of them looks up. He goes, "Is that you, God?" The voice comes back, "No, this is the manager of the ice skating rink." You gotta watch out. I'm trying those new traditions. Fishing on Christmas morning. If you can accomplish ice fishing in Hawaii, that's an accomplishment. One of my favorite traditions around the holidays growing up was my mom had this china hutch on the wall of the living room. I don't know how many families still have china these days, but in our house growing up, we had china. We had china. We just never used china because, of course, that's the good dishes that you don't want to break. You don't give the kids those ones. We all use paper plates and look at the china in the cabinet. But every year around Christmas, my mom would take a piece of yarn and she would hang it up across the china hutch. And as the mail would arrive and cards would come in, she would take the Christmas cards and hang them over this piece of yarn on the china hutch. And every day as the mailman would drop off more and more cards, the china hutch would begin to fill up until it's just covered with line after line of cards, and they're hanging here and they're perched there, and the whole china hutch becomes just this bouquet of color and greetings and memories and friends and relationships. And to me, that's one of my favorite memories of a Christmas tradition in our home. Some of y'all got to receive some cards this morning from our Treehouse Kids Ministry. If you have one of those, that was hand-decorated by our kids' church, Treehouse Kids. And on the front of it, you may see that there's Merry Christmas written in all different languages. If you don't have one, ask one of our ushers after church. I think we may have some left. And we wanted to celebrate all the different languages and cultures represented here in our church family. A greeting is something special. A card is something special. If somebody takes the time to call you on the phone, if somebody takes the time to write a letter or to make a card and put your name and your address on it, write your note inside, there's something special about a greeting. It means that somebody went out of their way, they took time from their day and their schedule to think about you and to let you know that you were on their mind. There's something special about a greeting. Whether simple or elaborate, the heart is still there. Unless you get hate mail, that's a little different, but unless you're getting hate mail, there's a specific heart behind a greeting. I remember growing up, one of my cousins lived in England with his parents, and a couple of years at Christmas time, my aunt would send us these cassette tapes in the mail. This was before the days of WhatsApp and Skype and Zoom and so forth, and she would send us a cassette tape in the mail that had a recording of her reading stories to my cousins as they would play. We would hear her reading the story, and they'd be chattering and talking in the background. And it was sort of like having a Zoom call, except without the video, and you have the same conversation every time. It was a little bit frustrating like that. But we got to know the voices of our cousins. There was something special about receiving these little packages in the mail. Christmas is all about a greeting. If you haven't clued in by our graphics and decorations and even the cards that you received, the idea of a greeting is what we've been studying this month for Christmas. See, Christmas is all about a greeting, not just any greeting, but something deep, something profound, something life-changing. It's the greeting from heaven to earth. It's the greeting from the one that we couldn't greet. It's a greeting like no other greeting that has been given in all of history. It's about the God who became human. He came to live among us. He came to greet us on our level. And not just to say hello, but for an eternal reason. Today we're going to share the story of Christmas and the season's greeting that's been given to each one of us. And in our family, I mentioned, we have a tradition of reading the Christmas story each Christmas morning. And so today you get to be a part of that. We're going to read the Christmas story together and then talk about some of the truth that we find, the meaning behind the season's greeting that we've each been given. So if you have your Bible, feel free to follow along. We're not going to have all the verses up on the screen today, but I want to simply read you the Christmas story and then talk about the season's greeting that we've each received. In Luke chapter number 1, starting in verse 26, we read these words. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Mary said, "Behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let it be to me. I don't know what exactly this means, God, but let it be to me according to your word. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. She entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He's shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He's brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He's filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. Then we jump down to the first chapter of Matthew, if you're following along. Matthew chapter 18 picks up the story from here, the other side, if you will. This was the greeting that came to Mary. Joseph also had a role to play. Verse 18 of Matthew chapter number 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, quote, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. We're going to jump back to the book of Luke and follow the storyline. If you've ever read through the Gospels, you'll see how there's different pieces of the story share different perspectives in each Gospel. Luke chapter number 2, starting in verse 1, says this, "In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered." It's never a good sign when the government wants to register you. There's something about to happen. "This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' They went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." On down into Matthew chapter number 2, the storyline picks up. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, "And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' And after listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." I empathize, perhaps would be a better word, with the wise men somewhat after this last week. Has anybody been shopping at Costco? I'm telling you what, those shoppers walking out the door are like that star that the wise men followed. If you can't find a parking space, you just latch onto a shopper coming out the door and stick with them. You stalk them through the parking lot. They may call security, but eventually you're going to find a parking place. There went the wise men to find baby Jesus. And this is by no means the whole story of Christmas. This isn't the whole story of Jesus Christ, but it is the beginning. It's the season's greeting that was brought to all of mankind. In this story, there are many season's greetings. There are many places, many times in the story where God intersected somebody's life. He stepped into their life and announced a shift in their season, a change in their direction. And see, a greeting is not an end in itself. The word hello is not a complete sentence. It's merely the beginning of something that's about to take place. It leads to a purpose that has not yet been fulfilled. Hello begins the conversation, but the conversation is the thing that must follow. So if you're calling Domino's, you may start the phone call with hello, but you finish by ordering a pizza. If your wife calls you while you're on your way home from work, she didn't call just to say hello. She needs something from the store. Take it from me, there's a purpose to the phone call. If your boss calls you up, it's not just to see how you're doing. It's not just to say hi. It's to say, I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in on Saturday, okay? Any fans of Office Space? Somebody. Tough crowd today. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you. If you call your girlfriend, if we got any young people in the room, you may call and say nothing but hello, but you didn't just call to say hello. Maybe you called just to listen to her breathe. That's okay. There was a purpose for the greeting that was given. Those that were greeted in this Christmas story were greeted, but they were greeted for a purpose. See, Mary was greeted by the angel, and it was announced that she was going to have a son. There was a change, a shift that took place. Joseph was greeted by the angel, but it was with the purpose that he not back out of the wedding that was supposed to happen, and to instruct him to help raise the child. The shepherds were greeted so that they would have an opportunity to go and worship the newborn Savior. The wise men were greeted so that they could go and welcome the king who had been born. In each of these instances, there was a greeting given, but the greeting was not an end in itself. There was a purpose. There was a destiny given in each of these. And if the conversation just stops with hello, there's confusion that results. Have you ever experienced that? I won't tell you who it is, but there's a good friend of mine that will often make a phone call and say, hello, and then sit there for a while. And the other person goes, hello? Hi. Hi? Did you need something? And then eventually the conversation continues, but it takes a minute to get to the purpose. It's very confusing when the conversation stops with hello. Maybe you've experienced that. So the question for us today is, what was the purpose? What was the reason for the season's greeting that we were each given? Why did God come down to earth to take on human form and greet us on our level in a way that you and I could comprehend? What was the purpose of the season's greeting? And I'm so glad you asked. In John chapter 3, in verse 16, we read these words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. In other words, Jesus Christ did not come and be born in Bethlehem and lay there in a manger in order to condemn you and I. He came to save us from a pre-existing problem that we already had. When you already have an issue and somebody points it out, it's not necessarily their fault that you have it. If my wife comes to me and says, honey, you have bad breath, it's not her fault. She's merely pointing out the issue that I already had, and I'm grateful. All the rest of you are too. Jesus Christ came not to condemn us, but to resolve an issue that you and I already had in our life. 1 Timothy 1:15 clarifies even more bluntly, more succinctly. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is the reason for the season's greeting that we've been given. The purpose was for God to save you and I, every single one of us here today, every person who has ever lived and ever will live, from our sin which separated us from Him, to give us eternal life with Him. This was the reason for the season's greeting. Now, have you ever noticed something about greetings? You'll be going along your day and doing the things that you need to do, and suddenly there's an interruption. You ever noticed? Anybody gonna get that? Oh, that's me. Sorry, guys. That's what a greeting does. A greeting interrupts our day. Whatever we had been doing, we were going on about our business, we were doing the thing that we needed to do, and suddenly the greeting comes and just throws a monkey wrench into everything. Something was happening, but now something new is being announced. It takes our attention off of what was happening and directs our attention to what is happening now. I owe our governor a humble apology this week. My wife and I were over in Oahu a couple of days ago at Kaiser. We're standing there at Starbucks at about 5:30 in the morning, and I'm placing my order, and out of the corner of my eye, I see this gentleman come walking through Starbucks. And I sort of turn, and it's a face that I recognize, but I couldn't quite place him. Well, being the shy, bashful sort of person that I am, as he passes, I just sort of go for one of these, hey, how's it? And he gives me this really weird look, and then I realize he's on a phone call, and then as he gets past me, I realize it's Governor Josh Green. Just interrupted him right in the middle of his phone call. Sorry, Governor, I knew you from somewhere. But see, a greeting interrupts us. Whatever we were doing, the greeting just sort of jumps into the middle of what we had been doing and changes things up. Smartphones may not be smart, but they know something profound. See, when the phone rings and that buzzing starts and our day is interrupted, there's only two things you can choose. It's Bubba. Anybody gonna answer that? There's only two choices. Your smartphone knows the truth about a greeting. See, you can be in the middle of doing something, you can have important things on your mind, but there's only two options when the greeting comes. You can either accept or decline. Some of your phones may have an option to send a text message back in reply, but really that's the same thing as rejecting the greeting. You're not allowing it to be received. If you do like I do from time to time, then maybe you just mute it and let it keep on ringing so the person on the other end doesn't know you declined the call. But you're still declining the call. There's only two options when a greeting arrives. You either accept or you decline. There's no third option. And there's few things more frustrating, more hurtful than a rejected greeting. I don't know if you've ever experienced that in your life. But if you take time out of your day to go to somebody and say, hey, you're on my mind, I'm thinking about you today. Or maybe just saying hello in passing and they turn and go the other way. It's happened once or twice in my life. There's some hurt. There's a ouch moment in that when a greeting is rejected. And the sad truth is that you and I, all of humanity, rejected God's greeting. See, in the Garden of Eden, God created the world and He put you and I in it. He created mankind and He wanted a conversation. There were some things that He wanted to take place, and instead mankind rejected the Creator and decided to go another way. The greeting was declined, you might say. Now, if God was like me, He might have responded and said, well, fine, I didn't want to talk to you either. I have those moments. I'm sure you do too from time to time. But see, God in his patience, in his mercy, in his love, wanted to give us another chance. And so he called back on the call that we couldn't respond to him. He reopened the conversation. He extended the greeting to us again. He came to earth in human form to give you and I a second chance. And in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, scripture says this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me." There's a purpose for the knock on the door. He didn't just say, if anyone hears me and comes and opens the door, then the door will be open. It will be. But the purpose isn't just for the door to be open. The purpose is for the Savior to come in and have fellowship, have a conversation, and build a relationship. That's the reason for the greeting. Christmas is about more than Mariah Carey and mistletoe and hot chocolate and that re-gifted fruitcake that you've been trying to get rid of for the last 2 years. Christmas is about the Savior, the Creator, the Almighty God of the universe coming down on our level to open a conversation with us, to greet us, so that redemption could take place, so that a price could be paid, so that a destiny could be fulfilled, so that you and I could live out our purpose in Him, in relationship with Him, and someday live forever with Him. That's the reason for the greeting that we've been given. But it all starts with hello. So the question I have for you today is, what are you going to do with the greeting? What, in the privacy of our heart, what is each one of us going to do with the knock on the door, with the phone call that has rung, with the hello that we've been offered at Christmas time? Are we going to accept? Are we going to decline? Are we going to send an automatic text message in reply, which is sort of a more graceful way of still declining the greeting? See, if you reject this season's greeting, you're going to turn down the most eternal gift that you've ever been offered. But if you accept, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain today. Because it's not just hello. It's the beginning of a conversation which will radically transform your life, change your eternity. If you've already accepted the season's greeting, maybe you answered that call. Maybe you picked up the line when the Savior called and you started that conversation. But how's the conversation going? See, a conversation that just ends with hello doesn't fulfill the purpose of the greeting. Are you continuing the conversation with the Savior? Are you building the relationship that He wants to have with you? Don't let the conversation in your life stop with the greeting. Don't leave the Savior standing on the doorstep waiting to be invited in. Now, if you're listening today and maybe joining us online, maybe you've realize that there's more to Christmas than just the tinsel and the apple cider and the hot chocolate and the star on top of the tree. Maybe you've glimpsed something just a little bit different through the story of the Savior who came to earth. And if that's you today, then I want to invite you to accept the call, to answer the season's greeting, to fulfill the purpose for which the greeting was given. And it happens very simply. It starts with a prayer, something like this. Jesus, thank you for coming to earth to greet me. And I accept the purpose of the greeting in my life. Thank you for offering me forgiveness for the sin that separated me from you. And I'm asking you today to forgive me. I'm welcoming you into my heart. I'm opening the door. And Lord, I don't want this conversation to just stop with hello, but I want to get to know you. I want to experience the purpose for which you came to earth. Someday I want to live in heaven with you forever. If that was you this morning, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, then I want to talk with you after service, because the conversation doesn't stop with hello. The conversation continues. It begins a relationship, an interaction that's going to last not just through this life, but through all of eternity. Don't let the conversation stop with hello. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, then Scripture tells us that there's a party happening in heaven when you open that door, when you respond to the season's greeting, that there's joy breaking out. There's a party being thrown because of the Savior's purpose being fulfilled in your life. It's a cause for celebration.
Thank you again for joining us on the Christmas Eve service. If you want to see the video itself, you can head over to our YouTube page at New Hope Legacy. Also, you can find us on social media at New Hope Legacy. If you want to check out our website, it's www.newhopelegacy.com. Thank you again, and we'll see you next week. Aloha.